we all know that our practice is much greater than sitting on these cushions or sitting on a chair in the zendo. Or Koban called this aspect of our practice king samadhi. But we practice samadhi in everything we do. Sometimes it's difficult to find the stillness and the presence of samadhi in our normal daily activities, especially in the hyperactive world that we live in. But that is our practice, being present in everything we do. Beyond the walls of the zendo. So a few times a year in recent years, we've dedicated a weekend to taking advantage of the natural surroundings of Jikoji, this open space district, and taking advantage of some of the naturalists that have been part members of our Sangha for many decades, by having a combination of quiet, silent, king samadhi practice on our zafus and zabatans in the zendo, but carrying our practice out to where it's still certainly relatively easy to recognize the stillness, the presence in the surroundings of Jikoji. We've called those weekends by various names. Sometimes call it just sitting and walking with awareness. This particular weekend that you've come and joined us on for this part of the Sunday program, we call Zendo Without Walls. The greater Zendo, wherever we are, is actually the Zendo Without Walls. But for the past few days, in addition to many periods of zazen, we've hiked with Charles leading us on Saturday morning up the Long Ridge Trail to the Stegner Bench and down the Peters Creek Loop. We took an hour or so just walking individually on our own and sitting quietly outside in nature. Last night we walked in almost all silence, except some words I uttered, up to the ridge where we sat zazen under the bright planets Mercury and Venus and Jupiter and the star Antares and the quarter moon and a strong cool breeze from the north. As the welcoming board said out on the deck, you're all welcome to participate on what remains of our Zendo Without Walls weekend. By choice, you're doing it now because that's what this next few minutes will be about. But at after the regular Jikoji lunch at 12:30, Ingrid, a naturalist and an interpreter at Henry Cowell State Park, will be leading an informative hike on the nearby trails. Ingrid, if you'd like to add anything more to the description of that hike, please.
If, okay. We'll just be checking out life that's all around the trails. And notice there was a sign last night that said there's an ultra marathon. So hopefully we won't meet the ultra marathon.
I ran into one lady. Already.
Oh, really?
She lost. She made her own turn, right?
Okay.
So yes, there's probably going to be some.
Right. I'm kind of curious what an ultra marathon is.
Was it 50 miles?
Oh, okay.
But for the moment, as you once again may have noticed on the board and on the schedule, it said conversations with trees, talk and walk. So I'd like to split the time that's usually devoted to so-called Dharma talk between some words about conversations with trees and some time outdoors before the lunchtime. And I'll explain that in more detail. But one of the naturalists, in this case a deep ecologist that's been a part of the Jikoji Sangha from probably before when I started with Kobin back in the mid-70s, was Stephanie Kaza, a resident of Green Gulch Zen community, student at Berkeley and a resident in Santa Cruz, and a regular participant in this Zendo, it's the Sheens in this Zendo. When I was doing a practice period here in the early months of 1992, she and her her partner, Davis, came through here when they were putting the final touches on this book I'm holding called The Attentive Heart, Conversations with Trees. Davis was actually doing the sketches, the ones here at Jikoji, and they were traveling through California to the other locations, not only California, but north of California, too, in the Northwest. And the book then was published a year later in 1993. I think it's, since Stephanie can't come back to Jikoji very often, she's settled on the East Coast, I'd like to see her teaching brought not only to our ears, but to life by practicing it as we recognize that the Zendo really has no walls. So I'd once again, as I've done in the past, like to read some excerpts. And once again, keep in mind as I'm reading these words of Stephanie's that in a few minutes I'm going to invite you, encourage you to go out and have a conversation with a tree or your equivalent of that. At least bring your attentive heart to the beautiful natural surroundings of Jikoji until the lunch bell rings. In the dedication part of Stephanie's book, she says, "I am most indebted to my teachers for their kindness and dedication to the truth, to Kobin Chino Otagawa, our teacher and the founder of Jikoji. I offer my thanks for root understanding and the gift of the Dharma." Then from her introduction, "My practice of writing with trees is based on the Zen form of shikantaza, just sitting. And as Kobun often told us, that's why he came from Japan to here, to share with us shikantaza. I spend time in silence, close to trees, doing my best to be simply present with the trees as other, with a capital O, aware of my thoughts, moods, and projections. I had no idea at first how this would work, but I persisted in the experiment. The writing became an excuse to listen for a call from the trees, in whatever form it took. I did not go to the trees with an agenda or story in mind, but chose rather to see what would unfold by being completely present in the specific place and moment." Continuing from the introduction, "The relationship between person and tree, arising over and over again in many different contexts and with various individuals, is one subset of all human, non-human relationships. I am exploring it here as a way to inquire into the nature of these relationships. I want to know, what does it actually mean to be in the relationships with a tree? Acknowledgement of and participation in relationships with trees, coyotes, mountains, and rivers is central to the philosophy of deep ecology. In this writing, I express one person's experience of the truth of this philosophy. By sharing this process with others, I hope to encourage and support people in engaging in their own serious conversations with trees. In these meetings of trees and persons, I allow myself to see and also be seen by trees. I assume that sensing of the other, once again capitalized O, is a two-way and active, though I cannot describe the biological basis of this for the tree. The framework of this book follows the central teachings of the Mountains and Rivers Sutra, a Buddhist text by Zen master Eihei Dogen, of 13th century Japan. The truth of this sutra, like most Zen works, is best realized through direct experience rather than cognitive explanation. And in this light, I offer the book directly to the reader of his or her own insights. In brief overview, the sutra begins by acknowledging the simplicity of recognizing things as they are. Mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers, and by extension, trees are trees. But in the course of studying mountains and rivers in depth, one sees them explode into all phenomena that support their existence. Clouds, stones, people walking, animals crawling, the earth shaking. Then mountains are not mountains. Rivers are not rivers in the original sense. Proceeding with this investigation, one finally pierces through to the truth of the entirety of existence, including the mind of the perceiver. Then mountains are once again mountains, and rivers are once again rivers. But now the depth of understanding penetrates, informs, and transforms the perceiver into a participant in the mountains, trees, existence. And then I jump to the chapter that relates to Jikoji and the alders that are growing, of course, still 20 years later on the shores of the pond, on the northwest corner of the pond. And she refers to meditation hall, the same meditation hall we're sitting in right now. The chapter is called by Alders. Inside the meditation hall, I sit with my hands in my lap, breathing into the hollow of my palms, left hand lying gently inside the right, thumb tips just barely touching, center point of concentration in the posture of Zen meditation. Back straight, mind deep in the body, the hands open and connected in the motion of breathing. Outside, the winter creek dances through the rocks, refreshing the small hollow below Skyline Ridge. Evergreen bay laurels cover the quiet spot with shade and whispering. In between periods of meditation, I walk slowly around the deck, drawing in the sweetness of early spring. By mid-morning, the land is speaking more powerful than the meditation hall. Come, come, walk with me. Smell the fresh soil. Catch the bright sky. Come to the trees. Come. I wonder if a tree knows when someone's hand is on its body. Does it feel a little warm, like an exchange of electricity? This act of reaching out is a small gesture, but it is filled with great intention. I am simply trying to say hello across the barriers of form and language. I believe the hands communicate this intention most honestly. The voice and mind are not direct enough, or perhaps they are too complex for the first step of making contact. Besides, the tree and I have such different minds and voices. I don't know the language of these alders at all. I can only guess of the shape of the tree's mind and what it knows about life on the edge of a pond. How does this water taste to the alder? How does the morning sun feel on its new leaves? How does the wind feel moving through its branches? And her last paragraph regarding the alders. It is difficult to imagine the scale and complexity of activity that goes on inside a tree. I sense in my hands some change, some charge, some energetic force at work here. Joining palms to trunk, I form a circle of energy with this tree. Listening through my hands, I meet this tree from my own experience of sunlight and stillness. Bound to a single place, perhaps the tree delights in the simple rhythm of the changing day. Maybe it is similar to sitting in the meditation hall, watching the day go by when there is nothing else to do. First the day begins, then it unfolds, and soon it closes down and the night sky appears. Day after day the rhythm repeats, shaping the tree's life through the seasons. The tree itself is a manifestation of rhythm, the way the light works. Supple trunk, dainty flowers, fresh green foliage, all are testimony to this pattern of change. This is what my hands recognize, this movement of sun, earth, and water. At some fundamental level, this tree and I are made of the same rhythms. We share a common understanding, available in the meeting place of touch. Reaching out, I find a simple way to begin a conversation. Coming close, I offer my hands in greeting. Thank you, Stephanie. And now, as I forewarned you, I encourage us to put our cushions back in place, bow out of the zendo within walls, and bow into the zendo outside the walls until we hear the bell call us back to lunch, but not before we've had a conversation with a tree, or at least bring your attentive heart to the surroundings of Jikoji.
Something about trees rooted in place, and they get very old, much older relatively than we do, many trees. Older than many of our lifetimes. And over those, that long time, centuries, even millennia, they've experienced the world, the seasons of flood and drought and storm, and they take on that personality of all those years. It shapes a tree, and they become, because of their rooting in place, and also their somewhat permanence to our own relativity. Of course, they grow and die, like all things are born and die. But trees offer to me a personal relationship because they are there over a long period of time for us to get to know. Where I live, I have wonderful oak trees, and you get to know the oak trees where you live because you see them every day. They're spreading branches there to embrace a multitude in need. And also, watching a tree as it gets old and old and die, slowly die, really reflects how we grow and get old and die. I certainly see that in myself now. And trees, I become, I'll say the word simpatico with it, empathy for it. So they have a beauty that mirrors our own natural order of our mind is found and can become in harmony, coincide with that, more than almost any other being that I know.